sonship. He just lost his relationship, Christian. When you sin and you go out in the world, you don't lose your salvation. We understand that. But he did lose his relationship, and that relationship with the Father had to be restored. And I've heard all those messages, and they're wonderful messages. I've learned a lot from Luke chapter 15. I heard a preacher preach one time on the ring, the robe, and the roast beef. All right, the return of the prodigal son. And I like that. You know, that's a good preaching title right there. But, you know, I wish I knew who it was so I could give him credit. But since I don't know who it was, I'm just going to steal his title and say it was mine. So anyway, I've heard messages on the older son, okay? And you know what? I've heard a lot of those. I've heard messages on just being faithful. And that's, I think, a good message for him. I've heard messages on frustration. And yes, on his prodigalness, how he was focused on the brother, you know, more than he was focused on what the father wanted him to do. And I think maybe sometimes that's a little bit of a hard judgment. I think, honestly, his real problem lay in looking at the temporary circumstances rather than the long-term consequences, okay? But you know what? I heard Dr. Jorgensen, when he came here a couple years ago, preach one of the best messages on Luke chapter 15 that I've ever heard, and he made a statement. And he said, there's a day after the party. And you know what? I thought that was a wonderful message. I mean, just a great truth there. You know, tomorrow, all right, that son just goes to work, all right? Tonight he gets a party, but tomorrow he's going to serve that older brother. So you know what, folks? I love those messages. They have made a difference in my life. But tonight I want to focus on a group of people mentioned in this verse that gets very little attention. I can't say that I've never heard a message preached on them before, but I very, very few, certainly. The truth is that probably the majority of us fit into this category, or I hope that you do. But tonight, I want to tip my hat to this group of people, and I want to say four things about the people found in verse number 17, and let's look at them again. The Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. It was amazing to me that when he came to himself, when he realized his error, when he realized how far he had gone, he didn't think about the father, he didn't think about the older brother, he thought about the servants. Now, why did he think about the servants? Why would that even cross his mind? And here's just what I believe. Because probably when he was with the Father and he was discontent and he was wanting to go out into the world, those were the people that he mocked. Those were the people that he made fun of. Young people, those were the people that they looked at and they said, oh, those poor old people, they just don't know any better than to serve God, you know. And when I turn 18, I'm going to go out and show them, you know, there's something way better than this whole Jesus thing. Those were the guys he looked at and said, man, I can't believe they'd willingly work for my dad. I don't even like my dad. I just hang around him because he has money, okay? But when he got hard and when times got tough and he came to himself, he realized this. The ones that were bound to the will of the Father were actually the ones that were free. Those servants, they were the ones that were free. He was the one that was in bondage. He was the one that was enslaved. He was the one that was in chains. He was the one that had to serve with little to no benefit. And those hired servants who just every day put their hat on, went to work for the Father, every night when they got home, they hung their hat up on the hat rack. They hung out with their wife and their kids. They spent time with their family. They had bread enough to spare. They had food on their table. They had a roof over their head. And they, even though they were bound to the will of the Father, were the ones that were living in freedom. And that's tonight what I want to say, four things about these servants. And I hope that it'll challenge you and be a blessing to you. Number one, I want to say all of these servants came from somewhere. All of these servants came from somewhere. Maybe some of them grew up at the Father's house. Maybe some of them, their dad was a servant, so they were a servant. Hey, young people, there is nothing wrong with growing up in church, all right? You ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful that you grow up in church. Because believe me, If you had to grow up with what some people have to grow up through it with, you would be more thankful for what you have now. But you know what? Maybe some of them were like that. Personally, I believe some of them grew up in the far country. And you know what? And you say, Brother Young, how do you know that? Well, I mean, listen, all of you here, you didn't all grow up in church. Some of you are first generation Christians. And here's what I envision. I envision this servant who's serving one of these husk feeders, one of these pig farmers. All right, nothing against pig farmers, okay, all right. But anyway, he's serving one of these pig farmers, and he's living a life of emptiness, and he's living a life of dejection and misery, just like the son was years later. And one day he goes to the market, and he sees this other servant who's happy. And he's like, how can a servant be happy? He's a servant. Folks, listen, by the way, you will serve someone, all right? And we're going to get to that in a minute. But you know what? He looks at this other servant. He says, hey, friend, tell me, how are you happy? And the servant says, well, you know what? Let me tell you something. I have a master, and he's a great master. You know what? That master loves my family. He doesn't make me, and I said master, okay, all right? I know it's 2022, okay, all right? I'm not changing the word. It's the master, all right? It's the master. It's still the master bedroom in your house, too, all right? I saw a house for sale the other day, and on the house outline, it said primary room, you know? And like, what is that? You know, but anyway. We're so smart, we're stupid sometimes. But anyway. But he said, you know what, let me tell you about my master. Every night I go home, and I have bread enough to spare, and I have food enough. And they're like, well, aren't you in service to the master? Yes, but friend, he's a good master. You know what? Why don't you come on and see him? And you know what, folks? Hey, that's what we're trying to do to this old world, aren't we? We're just trying to go and say, hey, listen, the master you're serving, he's going to leave you empty. He's going to wash you up, spit you up, chew you out. Why don't you come serve the master that I serve? Why don't I show you the better way, all right? He can save you. He can transform you. He can change your life. Everyone comes from somewhere. By the way, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Folks, listen, God knew what family you were going to be born into. If you were born into a good family, God knew that. If you were born into a broken home, God knew that. If you were born into the worst situation possible, God knew that. And he still has a plan and he still has a purpose for your life. Why are people running around in our world shooting people and causing trouble and murdering? Because they have no hope. They've been taught that they came from nothing and to nothing they will return, all right? And they've been taught that they came from a lower form of life and then there's nothing after this life. So you came from a monkey and all you can do in your life is do the best you can and then you die. No wonder there's no hope. No wonder the kids go through our public schools with no hope. No wonder they come out angry and bitter and depressed and looking for it. No wonder they're joining all of these groups, all right? They are looking for something. The word conformity is the world's desperate struggle to find happiness and peace. And it'll never be found in what they're looking through. It never will be. But you know what? They don't realize that they serve a master. And you know what? Those people who are the hired servants of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, those Christians who just every day they put on their hat and they go to work and they're happy in the service of the King are actually the ones that were free. But everyone has a story. But God has a plan for it. Number two, I want to say everyone serves a master. Everyone serves a master. Of course, we famously know the verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You see, the younger son, his problem was, he thought he was serving the father, and he said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to serve the father. I'm going to serve myself. Well, he really wasn't serving himself. Who was he serving? He was serving mammon. Right. By the way, when that dried up, who was he serving? He was serving someone else, okay? He now had to pay rent on all of the things that he was doing, and he now was poor and broken, and you know what? There's a lot of people in our world that's what they're doing. It takes them a long time to get out of bondage. You know why? You know why some people come into the church and they get saved and they struggle to grow? Because they've lived in that bondage so long that there still are some debts that have to be paid, okay? And you know what, folks? By the way, love them and don't hold that against them, okay? You ought to help them to grow, all right? Amen. New Christians are just that. They're new Christians, all right? So they're not going to be where you are. But young people, let me challenge you. Don't ever leave, because then you won't end up there. And where I'm getting ahead of myself, and I always do that when I preach, okay? All right, anyway. And I tell bad jokes, lame jokes, all right? And nobody laughs. It hurts me. It wounds me. It does. I tell jokes at my church, and people now have started to learn that if they just laugh, I'll move on, you know? So if I'll tell a joke, I'll just kind of sit there, you know, and then somebody will laugh, and I'm like, all right, now we can go on. But anyway, because I'm not a funny preacher. I'm not, unless I fall off the platform or something like that. I did that at Brother Claney's church about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago now, and I have never lived it down. You know, it's just, anyway, my wife says I screamed like a little girl as I was falling, so. But you know what? I'm just not funny. It's just not me, all right? I'm funny when I don't mean. Yeah, thank you. All right. Yeah, this is good. All right, I'm going to keep going. But you know what? Everyone serves a master. And you know what? The son who thought he was free, who thought he was freeing himself, was actually imprisoning himself.
That's right.
Yeah. He was actually the one. He was actually tightening the chains.
Yes,
and I was an illustration one time, an illustration that almost went bad about this. And my youth pastor was Brother William Davis in Lexington, Kentucky. And he used an illustration for the first time, and I don't think he tested it beforehand. And we were at church camp, all right? And when you just do stuff at church camp that you wouldn't normally do in church, okay? I'm just telling you. He sat me down in a chair. He put a black bag over my head. And he's talked about the bondage of sin, and he kept putting little chains on me, you know, the whole time. And, well, at some point, you know, I'm 16 years old, and I'm not breathing really well because there's all of these chains that, I mean, literally just chain after chain after chain, and I've got this big black bag on my head, and it's camp, and it's hot, and I'm like, should I tell him, you know? And then he kicks he's preaching, you know, he's preaching to all these teenagers, and he's fired up, and I have the bag over my head, so I don't see this coming, and he kicks me while I'm in the chair, chained up, and I just fall over, all right? So now I'm just laying there. And I'm like, I hope this message ends soon, all right? I'm getting nothing out of this message except for anger, all right? But he was talking about the bondage of sin. And afterwards, we got done, and he's like, man, are you okay? And I'm like, you need to test your illustrations before you use them in church, all right? That's all I'm saying. But he used that, the bondage of sin. And you know what, folks, listen, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll make you pay more than you want to, all right? We know that. I slaughtered that quote, all right? That's why I don't try to quote other guys' stuff. But you know what? We all serve a master. We all serve a master. And by the way, you know what? This son, he realized they were the ones that were free. By the way, I want to say number three, to go with that, everyone gets a paycheck. All of us have a story. All of us choose who we serve. All of us have a master that we're going to serve. And there will be a paycheck. By the way, what was this young man's paycheck? This young man's paycheck was, man, I wonder what I'm going to eat today. I wonder who's my friend. Folks, there are people all over our world. They have more technology than they have ever had. They have more access to people than they have ever had before. And people are lonelier now than they ever have been. They're living in a fantasy world. They're living in a make-believe world of friends. All right? You know, and I have friends on Facebook. All right? We'll call one of them when there's water coming into your basement. And you're like, hey, I really need you to come over, you know? Unless they go to your church, that's probably not going to happen, all right?
Right?
I got two calls yesterday for that. Like, hey, pastor, I got water coming in my basement, you know? And so I was over at one guy's house, and I showed up, and he said, yeah. And so we looked at it. And then I got a call from another guy while I was at his house and said, hey, I got water coming to my basement. I was like, do you need me to come over and help? And he's like, no, we got it under control. And I'm like, good, because I'm at another guy's house looking at his water in his basement. But anyway, I mean, just being honest, all right, you know? It's just... You know, like the guy that I was helping was in his 80s. The guy that called me was in his 40s. I was like, you can handle it, buddy. But anyway. I know. You say that. You think like that. Well, I'm a young pastor, okay? All right? So I need a few more years of the maturity before I don't. So, but you know what? But I would have gone over there and helped him. You know, it's okay. But you know what? A lot of people in the world, they find out real fast when trouble comes that they don't have any real friends. Just like this young man. I mean, he just, you know what? He didn't have any friends. By the way, if the prodigal lived today, I'll tell you what he would do. He would put on Facebook that he's doing just fine. He would pop back into the church every now and then just to let you know that he's doing great and his sinfulness lifestyle is fine. You know? But you know, you honestly want to know why prodigals pop back into church from time to time? It's because this is the only face that they actually really feel loved. And that's just the truth. So if they walk through the door, you ought to welcome them back. You ought to love them. And you know what? I'm not going to park there, all right? I'm not going to chase that rabbit. But you know what? Anybody that walks through the door of the church ought to be welcome. And you know what? I know this is a church that does a great job with that. But you know what? Everyone gets a paycheck. By the way, in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, and I'll flip there because I'm not going to try to quote it because when I do, I usually mess it up. I'm dyslexic. 9 out of 6 people are. So if you're blonde, you'll get that tomorrow night sometime around 11:30, I think. But anyway, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now here's sometimes where people get that out of balance. They think that if they're going to join the yoke of Jesus that they don't have to do any work because Jesus says it's easy. All right, but here's what he's saying. I have 3 boys, or 2 boys and a girl. All right, anyway, I have 2 boys and a girl. When I tell my boys to clean their room, and they do it willingly, and they get done, they can turn around, and even though they worked, they can look back and say, that was a job well done. And you know what the father's going to walk in and do? I'm going to say, wow, guys, this looks great. All right, nothing's even under the bed. I mean, this is awesome. All right, nothing's in the closet. That usually doesn't happen, but I'm just like, oh, this is tremendous. You know what that is? That was work, but the reward was good. And it really wasn't that hard once you did it. Because you weren't doing it because you had to. You were doing it because you were told to and you wanted to. Now, if I say to go clean your room and they don't, and I walk in the room and they're playing, then there's a little bit of disciplinary action that has to take place. And then cleaning the room is not fun. Because now they have to do it, because if they don't do it, the discipline will just get worse. And folks, that's a simple illustration, but that is how our life works. Hey friend, when you are serving sin, you are never serving to get ahead. You are always serving from behind in servitude to the devil. But when you serve God, it still involves work. Listen, Christianity is work, all right? It just is. That's just the bottom line. Brother Ross preached a message a couple years ago from Mark chapter 2, I believe it was, and he talked about that. Hey folks, the ministry is just work. It just is. It just takes work, all right? The preaching is like the easiest thing that you do, all right? It's simple. I love preaching, all right? If I could preach all the time, it would be great, all right? But most of the time, that's not the work that I do. And that's not the work that you do. Most of the time, you don't get to lead somebody. Most of your work that you do for Christ isn't leading someone to the Lord. Right. It's all the things that nobody else sees. Now, it's worth it when we get to see that, right? But that's the icing on the cake, right? That's the, you know, all of your labor, all of your effort. But you know what? I can work, you know what? I can work as hard as I want for the Lord every single day. And when I lay my pillow on my head at night, I have rest. I don't feel bad. I don't feel guilty. I've spent the whole day laboring for the Lord. I can just go to bed. But you know what the world does? They're up tossing. You know why people can't sleep at night? People live with way too much guilt and anxiety and shame. You know, I know there are medical reasons why people can't sleep at night. I understand that. But you know what? The majority of the world struggles with sleeping at night. You want to know why? It's because they spend their day working for themselves or working for the devil, and they don't have any rest at the end of the day. But you know what the servant does? The servant takes his hat. He works for the father. He goes home. He has his paycheck. He hangs his hat up. He loves his family. And he says, you know what? I have rest. Because when you serve the Lord, it's just easy. It's just fun to do, all right? When Jesus led the Samaritan woman to the Lord, and the disciples came back and they were trying to feed him, and Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of. He's just like, listen, I just got to lead a lady to the Lord. And well, to me. But, you know, he's just like, I just got to do, you know, it's just fun to do it. You know what? On Sunday, I baptized a man, and you know what? He had 14 people from his family there to watch him get baptized. And a lot of them were not saved. And he told me that. And we preached a short message Sunday morning. I got done with church, all right? Get this. I got done with church at 10:40. We start at 10, all right? And that's including the baptism. I don't know how that happened, all right? Because I'm not normally that short, all right? And so I told the church I'd make it up on Sunday night, but anyway. But you know what? I preached a simple message called A Good Man, A Bad Woman, and You. That was what it was called. It was talking about Nicodemus and the woman at the well and the Jesus in the middle. And you know what? At the end, the daughter of the man who got baptized raised her hand for salvation. She didn't get saved, but you know what? She knows she needs to. And you know what? Folks, listen, that's what the world needs. But you know what? I got done. I got done on Sunday night, and I wasn't tired. It was a long day, and there are some days where you just get worn out, you know? But hey, folks, listen. If you're serving the Father, there's such thing as, you know what it means to have a good tired? You know what I'm talking about, all right? You have a good tired, all right? If you're working hard to pay off debts all the time, that's not a good tired, all right? You never feel like you're getting ahead. But if I'm working and serving the Lord, and I'm looking back and going, man, I've got some, the Lord's blessing, the Lord's given me things, that's a good tired. By the way, it wouldn't hurt you in real life to have a good physical tired too, and I know many people in the church do that. There is nothing wrong with just working hard and looking back and saying, I accomplished something today. And that's what a lot of our world is missing. They go to work with no purpose of accomplishing anything. They just want to get paid, you know, and if you pay me more, I'll work harder. Well, if you work harder, you might find that you get paid more. But anyway, that's not even the same message. I'm chasing a rabbit there. But you know what, folks? Listen, everyone gets a paycheck. And lastly, and we'll be done, everyone has a choice. Everyone has a choice. You know what? In verse number 17 of our text, The son realized, he looked up, he said, how many of my father's hired servants? I mean, they have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And he said in verse number 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But you know what, folks? That's a choice. You know what? Today you have a choice. Are you going to serve God or aren't you? By the way, tomorrow you have a choice. Which master are you going to serve? By the way, young people, when you turn 18 and you get out and you're no longer bound to the rules of your parents, I don't know why that's the magical number anymore, but you know what? You have a choice. No one has to serve God. Okay, we're not Calvinists. We don't believe that God literally ordains every action that we do, all right? God gives us a free will. But he wants us to choose him. He wants us to choose. I mean, listen, I had a teenage young man in Lima, Ohio. I remember we were driving the van one night, and he was sitting behind me, and he was struggling, and I could just tell he was struggling with something, and I called his name, and I said, what's on your mind? And he said, Brother Young, he said, every time we get in church, you're always talking about serve God and love God and follow God and obey the Bible and obey Jesus. And he just starts spewing all of this out. And he's just like, you're always telling us to love God and follow God and love God. Why do you always tell us that? And I was like, wow, this is a really great question, all right? And I just sat there and I thought and I looked back in the rearview mirror and I said, I called his name and I said, the truth is you don't. And his jaw, I thought, was going to hit the bottom of the seat there because he was just like, he'd never heard a preacher telling me that he didn't have to follow God. And I looked at him and I said, but it would be a whole lot better if you did. Because I said, I've seen enough teenagers that don't and I know where they end up. Hey, folks, listen, you don't have to follow God. If you want to live for yourself, you have the right to do so. But you're going to live like this. And you know what? Those people that are doing that right now, you know what I pray for them? There's a man in our church, he came to me a few weeks ago, or a couple months ago now, and he said, Pastor, would you pray for one of my children? They've gone astray, they've left the will of God, and you know what? Every day, I prayed this for them. I said, Lord, I am not going to ask you to wreck them physically, but Lord, anything else that you can do to turn their attention to you, I prayed that you would do it. And I don't know why I prayed it that way, but I did. Last week, he came to me, and he said, Preacher, he said, Whatever we've been praying for as a church, let's keep praying because I'm seeing some really great progress in that area. You know what, folks, listen, those prodigals, those people, you know what we need to pray for them for? That they would come to themselves, okay? That they'd realize, listen, there's no freedom in serving the Father. There's no freedom in this. There's no freedom in the bondage of the world. There's no freedom in sin. There's no freedom in this wicked lifestyle. There's no freedom in whatever I'm embracing. There's no freedom in that. But you know what he looked at? And I love it. I love the younger son he looked at and he said, you know what? He said, all of those servants, all of those old people that I always made fun of at church because I didn't think they knew any better. Hey, you know what? They were the ones who had it figured out. They were the ones who just said, hey, I'm just going to serve the Father and I'm just going to live in freedom. Amen. I'm just going to live in freedom. I'm going to close with a Bible verse. Psalm chapter 84, verse number 10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Hey, folks, tonight, where do you hang your hat? Young people, 10 years from now, where are you going to hang your hat? Where are you going to hang your hat? Young families that look at the allure of the world and the job promotions and I got a great opportunity. It's going to take me out of work on Sunday. Hey, friend, you can go serve that master, but you're going to pay a price. You're going to pay a price. So you know what? Before you ever leave, let me challenge you. If you're hanging your hat at the door of the Father, just keep hanging it there, friend. Just keep serving Him. Amen. Folks, you know why Living Hope Baptist Church is here? Because a group of people decided they were going to hang their hat and just serve the Father. And you know what? You know what the next church plant needs? It needs a church that'll say, you know what? We're going to hang our hats. We're just going to keep serving the Father. We're just going to keep doing what's right. We're just going to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, I love you. Thank you for this day. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, there is nothing in this world for us. Lord, I pray that as Christians, we just decide we're going to hang our hat and just serve you. Lord, and we're just going to realize that those who are bound to the Master are the ones that are free. Thank you so much for saving my soul. In Jesus' precious name.